of our commitment series. And I don't know if you realize it yet or not, or what this 10 commitments is, or what we're building on. But there is a core group of people that have locked arm in arm between our churches, and we are convinced that we are a part of a revolution. Now, you can be a part of that, and I invite you to be a part of that. And if you're not a part of that, you're missing out. Maybe we could turn down these lights just a little bit. I know it's not good for the video, but I love seeing you people. There we go. There you are. There is a revolution going on, whether you realize it or not. We are part of a revolution. Jesus Christ is on the move. And it's happening more right now. It's happening more right now on this earth than it ever has. Right now, it's happening. And you're a part of that. And I'm a part of that. And we believe in this church that these 10 commitments, these 10 core values, these 10 kind of foundational faith type things, if you commit to those, I personally have committed to them, and if you would join me in that and commit to these foundational truths, you will be a revolutionary. And God will choose you, and ordinary people like myself will do extraordinary things because the power of Jesus Christ will do it. I believe that with all my heart. That's why I showed up tonight. Because I know that God is doing something in my heart and lots of my family's heart. So I just want to share a few things with you tonight. I think I'm going to need a clicker. So, some of the Pharisees, Sadducees, givers of the law, they asked Jesus, some lawmakers were actually asked him, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus, what is the greatest? What is the top priority? What's on the top of your list? And most likely all of you have read this verse and you understand this verse. But let's talk about it. We're going to take it a little bit deeper. Let's talk about it. The greatest commandments, Jesus said, was love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the first part we kind of get, you know, this is the whole love, soft, cushy love thing. Love. I love chocolate cake. I love my wife. I love most things. I love sunny days in the springtime when it first starts to come. I just have extra energy when that happens. But this whole neighbor thing, you know, I don't necessarily even like my neighbor. But here it says the second is just important, and that would be to love your neighbor. Or to love others. The first component is love God with everything. With everything. It pretty much spells it out. Everything. Love me with everything. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, everything. And love others. And love your neighbors. That's a little more of a challenge, isn't it? Well, there's just two questions we're going to ask tonight. What is love? And how should I love others? What is love and how should I love others? Or how can I love others? Or how will I love others? How will I? How can I? How should I love others? My neighbor. And what is love anyway? What really is love? Well, let's take a look. Let's start with what is love. Love, I believe the Bible tells us, is sacrifice. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Don't miss this verse. God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Oh, my. Has your faith, has your love cost you anything lately? Has it cost you? Has my relationship with God and my how I go through life, has that cost me anything lately? Have you paid a price? Have I paid a price? There's a couple people that have. I want to read you a couple stories. We'll start with this one. It's called Real Love Forgets Self. William Gladstone, in announcing the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons, told a touching story. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and endanger her life by breathing the child's breath. Once, when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little one into her arms to keep her from choking to death. Rasping and struggling for her life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me." Without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter. She got diphtheria, and some days thereafter, she went to be forever with the Lord. And they just go on to say, real love forgets self. Real love knows no danger. Real love doesn't count the cost. The Bible says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. I don't know if my love has cost me much lately, because I can keep it pretty protective in my own yard, in my own house, in my own world. I can keep myself pretty sheltered and pretty cushy and pretty much in my box. We can do that, especially in America. I don't know if it's cost me. It's a book I've been reading. It's just kind of a daily devotional. And God was kind enough to give me another appropriate story. James Chalmers was a carefree, high-spirited Scottish boy. "I dearly loved adventure," he later said. Excuse me. "And a dangerous position was exhilarating. Perhaps that's why he listened carefully one Sunday when his minister read a letter from missionaries in Fiji. The preacher, tears in his eyes, added, 'I wonder if there is a boy here who will by and by bring the gospel to the cannibals.' Young James said quietly, 'I will.' And he wasn't even converted yet. In 1866, having been converted and trained, he sailed for the South Pacific as a Presbyterian missionary. Chalmers had a way with people. It was in his presence, his carriage, his eye, his voice, a friend wrote. There was something almost hypnotic about him. His perfect composure, his judgment and tact and fearlessness brought him through 100 difficulties. Robert Louis Stevenson, who didn't like missionaries until he met Chalmers, said, 'He is a rowdy, but he is a hero. You can't weary me of that fellow. He took me fairly by storm.'" In 1877, Chalmers sailed on to New Guinea. His ministry was successful there. Packed churches replaced feasts of human flesh. But as the years passed, he grew lonely. He was delighted when young Oliver Tompkins came to join him in 1901. The two men decided to explore a new part of the islands. And on Easter Sunday, they sailed alongside a new village. The next morning, April 8th, 1901, Chalmers and Tompkins went ashore. They were never seen again. A rescue party soon learned that the men had been clubbed to death, chopped to pieces, cooked, and eaten. News flashed around the world. "I cannot believe it," exclaimed Dr. Joseph Parker from the pulpit of London's famous City Temple. "I do not want to believe it. Such a mystery of providence makes it hard for our strained faith to recover." Yet Jesus was murdered. Paul was murdered. Many missionaries have been murdered. When I think of that side of the case, I cannot but feel that our honored and noble-minded friend has joined a great assembly. Wow. Man. They're clubbed to death and eaten. That cost. Has loving others or your neighbors cost you anything? Really? Or me? Does it really cost me anything? Really? It cost Jesus Christ his life. You know, on Palm Sunday, when he was on the donkey, on the foal, about to ride into Jerusalem, it says that Jesus wept. He wept. He was compassionate. And his tears were not for his own behalf, for his own concern, because, oh my goodness, he was mocked and spit on and tortured and on and on and on. His tears were for the hardened heart, because he knew that not everyone would turn to him, no matter what he did. Even this love, enduring love, his faithfulness to the cross, to die on the cross for our sins, even that, men and women still don't turn toward him. And that just compassion overflowed out of him, because he was love. He is love. So what is love? God is love. We've heard that before too. God is love. That's kind of nice to say. God is love. Let's think about it. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. I said, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Oh my goodness. That is an incredible verse. That God, once we pray and ask Jesus Christ into our life, the God of the universe actually becomes part of us. He comes and lives inside our hearts. He is part of us. That's amazing. So we should be like, if we really know him and he's living inside us and we're excited about our faith, you know those little juice boxes? I always have troubles with them when somebody hands me one. It's like it always squirts on me when I grab a hold of it. It's like, oh man, it's so full. Well, if we have Christ living in us, and we should be like a sponge. If somebody talks to us long enough and we're having a conversation, pretty soon it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Out of the overflow of the mouth, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What is coming out of your mouth? What is coming out of my mouth? What am I living for? What am I really concentrating on? What am I trying the hardest at? What am I really trying hard at to succeed at? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Is that what's coming out of us? It's in a way, it's like the Trinity. And that's hard for me to get my mind around. It's the Trinity. You got Father God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this Trinity, in this being. All together. Father God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. And what happens is this creator of the universe is so amazing that what he's done is he's brought that to me. When I received and asked God to come into my life, and then, yes, I believe that you died on the cross for me, please forgive me, come into my life. There's like a little Trinity happening right there. If I ask my Father God into my life, I become a son. I become a son. And he works through me by his Holy Spirit power. And that love, God is love, that love is in me. It is part of me. It has nothing to do with me and my old self. Because that old self is not very loving. Believe you me, in the flesh, I can be so selfish. But because God is so amazing, because he loved me so much, there's a nucleus going on. God the Father, I'm his son, you're his children, and his Holy Spirit is deposited in us, and that flows out of us. We are different. We change. We are capable of loving neighbors that we don't even necessarily like. In fact, we're called to love others. It's not an option. It's not an option. It's a mandate. We're called to be God, loving others. I like this C.S. Lewis quote. On the whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for Him. That's true. God's love is complete. God's love is complete. It's a done deal. In this way, love is made complete. Love is made complete by the sacrifice on the cross. God gave His one and only Son to make this love complete. It's not wanting among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him. Because in this world we are like Him. We love because He first loved us. There is no other explanation for the love of God and for us to be able to love others than it's Him. It is God. And the more we grow in our faith, and the more we fill ourselves up with that love and we stir it up and we live it and we act out on it and we move on it. Love is an action. The more we're like a sponge and somebody touches us and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's my faith. It's my life. It's who I am. I am not that anymore. I am a new creation in Christ. A miracle has happened. If you are a believer, a miracle has happened. If you bow to knee and ask Christ into your life and you consider yourself a Christian, it's done. It has happened. It is done. We don't have to keep trying and trying and trying and, oh, I'm so guilty. Oh, that sin. It's just, it's done. It is finished. On the cross, Christ said, it is finished. His love is complete. We don't need anything. We don't need a 401k. We don't need anything. Christ came to the earth naked in a manger. He left the earth on a cross naked. There was no gold bullion stashed anywhere. He spent everything. We have everything. We have the power of the living God, Jesus Christ, living inside of us. That power is available to us. Do you really believe that? Or is it just a warm fuzzy on the weekends? Oh, it's true. And that should change us. And that should change our ability to love others. We are different. We have everything we need. You know, all of us, if we were to talk to one of us, sooner or later, something would come up where we would think we would need something. My washing machine broke down. My wife and I needed a new washing machine. We had to go get it. We didn't really. Certainly there's things that God gives us to get through this earth, but we have everything. He promises. The Bible is just full of promises. This is the only perfect thing on earth. It's perfect. And it's God gave it to me and to you. It's perfect. He gave it to me and to you. God's love is complete. It is not wanting. So if you claim to have that in you, living in you, live like it. I talk to myself here too. It is, He will provide. He's promised, I will provide. He'll provide my daily bread. I can trust Him in every single circumstance. He's got me covered by the blood. I love that. We're good to go. Any kind of addiction, any type of weakness, any sin that we've fallen into through Christ, through the power of Christ, you can walk out of that. And if somebody tells you different, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care what you're addicted to. With Christ, with that Holy Spirit living inside you, you can overcome anything. The Bible says you can move mountains. I'd love to do that sometime. So how should I love others? How do I love others? How will I love others? And there's that obey word again. Well, it's our mandate. It's a command. There's a command here, okay? If we're children of God, our Father, our God has told us, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. If you obey my commands. If you obey my commands. Now that you have purified, I like this verse too, 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. Now that you have purified yourselves, now that Holy Spirit's in you, now that that's going on, that nucleus, that life, that Christ is in you, you're purified. Now obey the truth. Obey what God tells us to do so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Sincere love. I mean, there's surfacey, hi, how you doing love all over the place. Sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. Now, there's not options here. That's what we're told to do. That's our mandate. That's our charge. Love others. Love your neighbors. That's clear in the Scripture. Love others. Whether you know them or not, love others. I wonder, are there any new people in here today? Is anybody, is this the first time you've been here? Would you do me a favor, please, and just stand up? I don't want to put you in. And then would somebody please... I want to make sure all these people get a hug. So can some of you guys give these guys a hug? I will, yes. Oh, yes. We love you here. I'll make sure every new person gets a hug. Okay, stop that. My. Anytime any new person ever comes into one of our churches, my desire is, my heart would be, anytime anyone, no matter who they are, ever comes into one of our churches, or any Christian church for that matter, is you ought to feel like God's just hugged you. You ought to feel like, oh my goodness, I just got a hug from the Creator of the universe. I think that's what a church is all about. You come into a place where we're preaching and talking about Jesus Christ, the love of Christ. What's that like? Oh my goodness, in our building, you ought to experience it for sure. You ought to experience when you meet me in the street. Oh, that's where the costs come. That's where it's difficult. When I'm in the grocery store trying to get my salsa, I don't really want to be bothered, all right? I'm called to love it all the time. Anytime you come up and poke at me, it's, oh, how you doing? The love of Christ ought to just flow out of me. That is true, real, inside, genuine, complete, sacrificial, unconditional love. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's real. It's what we're called to. And it's available. It's living inside us. God is love, and God is living inside us. So each and every one of us has the potential to live like love like Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us. But no, we don't, do we? Why is that? You know, I've been thinking a lot about these verses in 1 Corinthians 13, I just can't get them off my mind. And I'll give you a little object lesson with the first one here. First one says, if I speak in tongues, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I haven't been around a lot of gongs, really, but my son plays the drums, and he learned to play them in my basement. I got a pretty good idea what a clanging cymbal sounds like. And what this verse is saying, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, this is what you'll hear. Okay? If I'm going to speak to you, even if I'm speaking the gospel, mind you. Christ died for your sins. He died for your sins, Jesus Christ died for you. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a clanging cymbal. when I'm talking about my God. And I know you don't either. But I know a lot of clanging cymbals. And it breaks my heart. Let's read this whole chapter. I just love this. In Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. If you have a Bible with you, you're welcome to follow along. The way this starts, the Apostle Paul writes, he's writing to the church of Corinth. The way it starts, I like, is, and now I will show you the most excellent way. It's like, I can just see him. And now I'll show you the most excellent way. Here it is. Now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Okay, because you know what? Now we're going to talk about love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then, oh, I can't wait till then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I love those verses. We're called to love unconditionally. I like this quote by Richard C. Helverson. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. His love is unconditional, impartial, everlasting, infinite, perfect. Seems like we always want something back with our love. We're a selfish lot. We always want something back. Honey, I brought you some flowers. Oh, wink, wink. Sure, I'll lend you some money. If you want to come over to my house and fix some things for me. It seems that we always have strings attached to our love, don't we? Unconditional love is the love we're called to. Unconditional love. Jim Elliot and a group of five men, including Jim Elliot, in Ecuador. I don't know if anyone's seen the movie End of the Spear. Pretty powerful movie. Talks about them. Jim Elliot and these four other guys, they went to Ecuador and South America. And they're convinced that God had called them to reach a tribe of natives that were very, very violent. Their history was that they were just always killing each other. One tribe would kill the other. There's always fighting going on. Just massacre after massacre. These guys felt that God had called them to reach that group of people. My, I'd have to hear pretty clearly from my God to take that trip. But they did. And they took their wives and they moved down there. And they made contact. And at one point, they were trying to decide whether to take guns or not. When they knew that they were going to be able to land on this little beach and actually make contact with these people. First time this has ever happened. And they were trying to decide, well, should we take guns or not? They had guns. They decided not to take guns because they felt that those people were not ready to die yet. But they were. Did you hear that? They felt that those people were not ready to die yet because they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But this band of brothers, they were ready to die. And I know where they're at. We'll see them one day. Is that love or what? That's just hard for me to even comprehend. That is love. Those guys are an incredible example. You know, last week, Greg Johnson led a group of people to put on his third Mission Love and Kindness at the conference center downtown here. And I had participated one time before, and last week I took my family, I took my three children and my wife, and we went down there to participate in Mission Love and Kindness. Really an awesome outreach. Typically, when the conference goes on twice a year, there are certain people that can be rather rude and violent towards the LDS people. And what Standing Together Ministries did was they got some permits to be able to go out and stand around the conference center and show love and kindness to the people that were going to the conference. Now, the first time it kind of affected me pretty profoundly. And last week it did as well. And we went up there and we kind of dressed up a bit. And my 11-year-old girl, my son, and my Kelsey and Jeannie, we all went there. In fact, Greg gave us this corner. I called it the McEnroy Triangle. At this corner right there, we had them. And it was just a flood of thousands and thousands of people were coming by. My little girl's saying, God bless you, have a good day. I'm saying, God bless you, have a good day. Hey guys, how's it doing? Oh, it's being kind of goofy. Hey, how's it going? Hey, have a good day. God bless you. All these people. Oh, just thousands of people. And mind you, I do not agree with their doctrine on quite a few areas. But I can go to a concert and something and see thousands of people and think, and I like just praying for people when I'm in groups of people. Like if I go into a mall and there's a thousand, or I'm in an airport, I pray all these people come to know you, God. I don't know if they do or not. Well, I'm pretty sure that they did not. I'm pretty sure that most of those people do not know the same God, the same Jesus Christ that I do. And I could see that in their eyes. And I'm sorry, but that was hard for me. That was hard for me. Like, oh my goodness. All these people, God, what will you do? How are you going to rescue them? They're going to the slaughter, God. How can we help them? Do we love others? Do we love our neighbors? We're called to. It's a mandate. It's our charge. I don't care who it is. We're called to love like Jesus did. That's a tall order. To death. Sacrificially. Unconditionally. Completely. He's our example of love. As a matter of fact, remember, He's in us. He is love. He's living in us. He's part of us. And we couldn't love without that. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So the only way that we can love others is with that love of Christ, the Father, us His Son, us His daughters, us His children, the Father's love, and that flowing through us, the Holy Spirit flowing through us to others. About the Good Samaritan. We've all heard that story. Well, I'm not going to actually read it, but I'll talk about it. So a guy comes, and Jesus tells a story. First off, the people actually ask Jesus, you know, okay, who's my neighbor? Who are you talking about in that first verse where I'm supposed to love you and love my neighbor? Who is it? And Jesus says, well, let me tell you this story. A man was going on a trip. He was going traveling. He went, and some robbers jumped him and beat him up and left him for dead. So here's this guy, you can imagine, laying on the side of the road, left for dead. And a priest comes along and sees him and goes to the other side of the road to avoid him. Doesn't want to get involved, tangled up in that business. Have you done that before? Have I? I see someone and say, you know what, I'm going to go around this way. Another person came, same thing, on the other side of the road. Good Samaritan comes along and shows the love of Christ, helps him, bandages him, puts him on his horse, takes him to a hotel, pays the money so that he can be there until he heals. Love of Christ. You know, lots of times when I see groups of people, I think of that story for that whole group of people. And today I watched a Band of Brothers clip, and it kind of really gripped me to the core. When God did that to me, just trying to soften me up for this, I guess. But the scene I watched was towards the end when there's this big long war effort, World War II, The Americans had landed on Normandy, and they'd been fighting this huge, amazing war, and they'd been advancing, and thousands of people were dying. Finally, they get to this point where the war is pretty much over. They pretty much broke the German army's back, so they would come to say. And they started discovering these concentration camps. And what happens is, these guys came upon this first concentration camp, and they didn't even know what it was. They're like, why are these guys prisoners? They're not allies. Why are all these camps here? Well, look at these people. Oh my goodness, it's just a horrific scene that Hollywood painted on that, with all these people and their ribs sticking out and hundreds of thousands of bodies and people that were just... They're coming up to the soldiers, and they just wanted to touch them. They just wanted to hug them. So, it's just incredible. And you can put that visual, if you will, in your mind for the guy that got beat up by the robbers. Or in a lot of ways, I put that in my mind. It's maybe some people that are a whole bunch of people that are really deceived, that are left for dead. I'm called to love them. I'm called to love others. I'm called to love everybody. Poor little guy. The Good Samaritan story is played over and over and over and over and over and over every day. And maybe we don't come across someone that's actually beat up and looking half dead. But I know a lot of people have stopped and helped me alongside the road, or helped me with my car, or whatever. We're called to love as a reflex. It's part of us. Every little thing we do. Unconditionally, sacrificially, completely. And it's going to take everything we've got. But you know what? In life, there's nothing else worth living for. All the little successes, all of our little high, all of our little trophies, all of our things on the wall that we hang up, our nice cars, our nice house, our nice yard. None of that. Jesus came into the world naked. He left just rag wrapped around Him. Completely spent. He died for you and for me. And we are called to die sacrificially to love others. Die to ourselves. Are you doing it? Am I doing it? It's really convicted me. Because I can get to a certain point. Even if somebody needs something, you know, I can drive by and throw it over the fence. There you go! But will I stop, go over there, and give them a hug? And genuinely love them with the love of Christ? You know, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone is the most loving thing we can do. Sharing our lives with someone is a complete love. That's a complete love when we sacrifice and take the next step and die to ourselves and give our lives to others. That's the love you and I are called to. And it's good. And it's living in us. And there's a revolution of people living this radical, incredible, complete, sacrificial, unconditional love right here. Let's take this family to another level. We're called to. It's our mandate. There's nothing else worth living for. So let's just pray to close our night. God, we love You. And it just seems so hollow for me even to say that. God, we love You. You are love. You are love, God. Thank You that You loved us first. Thank You that You cared so dearly and so completely for us and so sacrificially that You shed Your blood for us, for our sins, God. You washed us clean. You washed us clean with Your blood. You didn't hold back. Your love endures forever. You persevered. You are faithful. Your love is faithful. You promise us You will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You promise us that You love us. And that You are love. And that You live in us. And that You are part of us. And that we can be different because of You. And that's just amazing to me, God. I praise You for that. I thank You for that. We just want to lay down our lives for You, God, in the best way we know how. And just say that in Your precious name. Amen. Amen.